or it's that.
Very Dishonest yeah. Barack is wiretapping Tyler. My favorite podcast hosts.
Tyler.
What?
I'm going to say one word to you. That's two words.
Okay.
And I hope you're in. I hope you're in.
Okay.
Shit town.
Yes. I'm in and I'm out. I've listened to it all.
Does it it kind of slowed down on episode 5. Does it pick back up?
Well, I mean, define picks back up.
Are there any more bombshells like at the end of episode 2 or 3?
I wouldn't say there's bombshells, but there's a full like rounding out of the story, like a full
okay.
clearer picture of.
Okay, I don't want to know the end, but I do want to know this, which might be the end.
You don't want to know the end, but you want to know what?
Is there any gold?
We don't know.
Ah!
Wait, this is a massive spoiler for people that might be listening. What are you doing? We can't do this.
Okay. I think we already spoiled it. God damn.
Can you believe those Alabamian accents?
No, and it's fantastic, and it makes me want to go there and just talk to people.
It 100% sounds like us when we're making fun of large swaths of the country
yeah.
with our really ignorant...
Yeah, that's probably where it came from. Hey, don't you think that podcast is going to have an incredibly negative effect on people that live there?
No, because I don't think they're going to listen.
Yeah, good point. Good point. NPR, what's that?
Those guys that are just full-on happy dropping the N-word like it was nothing. It made me so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable.
The whole thing sort of makes me uncomfortable. But it also is comforting at the same time. Like, you realize there's simple things in life that you can enjoy.
It's good to know there's still a place where you can drop the N-word for free. I know. It is quite comforting.
Yeah, and there's also... But it's more about... Now I'm going on as if we're just skating over that. Yeah, I agree. That would be what sweet freedom to be able to do that.
I'm not saying I agree with it, but it must be nice to be free, you know?
Don't you think is maybe you're too young for this. You don't have enough of my animosity or bitterness built up yet.
Yeah.
But doesn't totally being out of the rat race of Los Angeles sound appealing?
It does, except for the fact...
Like your life is... Your life is just simplicity. There's just nothing to do but labor and then drink.
Yeah, but it also sounds kind of monotonous.
Oh, and it sounds like prison, too. But I'm saying there's something about that just stopping like this competition
sure.
and this being around this shit and then just going to...
Well, that's why
simple.
That's why we're supposed to like actually like go on vacations and use your vacation days, and your employers aren't supposed to give you like 4 vacation days a year and be like, "All right, well, use them smartly." That's
mm-hmm.
why other parts of the world have it figured out where they like, you know, take entire months off.
I bet that has a lot to do with your happiness. Like if you live in Italy and you split for like 2 hours
yeah.
in the afternoon and take a nap.
I mean, I'm being glib, but I'm also sort of not.
No.
Like the American work culture is really, I think, harmful to your well-being
and your heart health. Because I imagine how many less heart attacks Americans would have if you weren't constantly under pressure
sure.
to perform.
Well, there's this whole thing about like if you're not busy, you're not working. Which, if anything,
yeah.
That just means you're an inefficient worker if you're just busy all the time and you can't figure out how to, A, delegate your work to other people, or B, work smartly and be done. But the fact that you, like, sit around and just stare at the clock and I can't leave until my boss
mm-hmm.
leaves. Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of shit is...
Most people do that.
Yeah, I know. I've done it. It's terrible.
And that's coming from a guy that has no idea how to work efficiently or manage the clock.
That's why you got to get out there and start your own business. And when you're going to start your own business, what do you need, Mike?
That's what I'm saying.
LegalZoom,
that's what I'm
right?
saying.
Our first sponsor. I'm
that's
just kidding.
That's right.
Just kidding, everyone.
That would be a great sponsor. LegalZoom kept me out of federal prison when I didn't pay my taxes.
That's pretty good.
That's why the After Disaster recommends LegalZoom. Even though they wouldn't keep me out of prison because all they do is sell you paperwork. I don't know what they do.
They provide self-help legal service at your own discretion. I think that's what their tagline is based on the Bill Burr episodes I've listened to.
You know what I don't like about internet ads? I mean, about podcast
ads. What do you
not
like about podcast ads?
Your very well familiar with. It's always the same companies.
We've talked about this. Like, Stamps.com is everywhere.
Either it doesn't work or no one else has a clue. Every other company's got their head up their ass. Because if it totally works, how does Stamps.com, that blow-up mattress or that self-inflate... I don't know Casper. What happens. You open a box and there's a mattress.
I think it's Casper. Is that the one?
If you open that Helix. Box in the bathroom, you're fucked. Because you're going to have a full-size mattress in your bathroom.
Oh, my God. That is such a good prank idea. Sending people those...
That is a great prank idea.
Sending someone a California king bed who lives in, like, a tiny apartment loft. And they're like, what is this? And they open the box.
Just opening it in their car and leaving. I love this idea.
It's a much meaner version of those... popcorn snakes or whatever the hell those...
Yeah.
What do you call those snakes in a can?
I don't know, but I hate those things because there's no goddamn way to keep them in the box when you open a package. There's no way.
I miss the days of to get pranks, you had to wait for like a comic book to come and then go to the last page and find...
Imagine
being one of those companies that your entire business is predicated on 12-year-old sending you $5.
Yep, X-ray specs you're talking about?
Yeah, X-ray specs, decoder rings, the
I used to see
snakes.
That ad for the X-ray specs, and it had the little cartoon of the guy. It wasn't even a kid, it was like a man looking at a woman and seeing through her dress. Do you remember that?
Yes. I mean, I know like, what X-ray you're talking specs. About. I don't know. I can't decide if I know that I have that imagery because of like it being in shows as a joke or if it's in my mind as 100% real.
When I was a kid, I so wanted them to be real that I tried to convince myself they would work. And every time I'd look at that ad, I'd go, there's no way that works. But I so wanted it to be real. And I thought, they can't advertise it if it doesn't work.
I like the idea.
Of course they can.
I like the idea that these guys have actually made X-ray specs. And they're like, but no one will fucking buy them except for these 12-year-olds. We just got to keep putting ads. It seems like this would be very helpful technology for like the military or scientists. But no, the only people that's buying it are shithead 12-year-olds.
That's right. Military grade see-through glasses, selling them to kids for $5.
They go to the Pentagon to try to sell them, and those guys are like, oh, you mean the thing in the back of comic books? Yeah, right. There's the door. Don't let it hit yourself on the way out.
Yeah. And you're like, nice underwear, General. He's like, get back in here, boy. I always thought growing up that there was some sort of regulatory committee in the United States that kept people from advertising fake stuff. But even in 2017, if you listen to talk radio, there's still a lot of stuff that common sense tells you, this doesn't work. This isn't true.
It is weird what things have oversight and what things don't.
Yeah, well, like as a guy who broke one of my back teeth off grinding my teeth in my sleep knows, there is no such place that you can walk in and walk out with a new tooth for $9.99. That just doesn't exist. That's not real. It's not true.
Yeah.
Maybe Mexico.
That's probably why they do that for the first 10 callers, and then they're like,
yeah.
You weren't one of the first 10 callers. You have to pay full price.
Yeah. I'd like to know what the psychology is behind it, too, because on the station I'm talking about, which you're familiar with, it's always like the next 13 or they have some weird number. The next 17 callers get, you know, like, what?
I think to your brain that sounds like a more like a real number. Like, they wouldn't just make up 14. It must be real.
Yeah, no, clearly the dentist told them he's got 14 spots available at this discounted rate.
Must be real bothersome for that dentist has to keep calling the radio station and giving them updates.
You know what's got to be depressing is if you're that dentist and you pay the big dollars for a really high-end AM talk radio show ad price, whatever it costs, tens of thousands of dollars, and the phone doesn't ring. what a failure you'll feel like.
That's got to be bad. For the record, I mean, so do you think those commercials... I think there's two options. It's either everyone who calls gets the deal, and it's just a way to get you to call.
Yeah.
Or no one gets it, and they tell you that, sorry, it's already been redeemed. I guess either way, they're good.
Or if it was a mom-and-pop business, they've got the scam worked out where they go, I'm sorry, it's all full. You know what? Let me talk to the doctor and see if I can get you the discount. Yeah, he said 14 is okay.
He's willing to make an exception.
Yeah, and bring, you got to give me your credit card number right now over the phone.
Also, can I interest you in our special package that includes a pair of X-ray specs?
You know what? I bet you go to those any of those businesses that advertise like some absurdly cheap rate, and you go there and they immediately find a disclaimer for like, oh, you've got pink gums. This is for people that have,
yeah,
you know. I mean, they go, oh, we also need to do this, and oh, do you want Novocaine?
Have you ever?
Most people do.
Have That's you ever gone to
extra $700?
A place that advertises on the radio?
Yeah, yeah.
For anything, for any service?
Well, I bought an air purifier off the radio, and I still have it, and I imagine it works, but it was ungodly expensive for something that supposedly gets the pollen and everything out of the air. It was $400.
Oh.
And I heard, I probably bought a couple of things. It's probably how I learned my lesson, that it's all a bunch of, like, we all know not to hire a lawyer off the radio, right?
I mean, you would think, but now I know that I need, yeah. If I call 1-800-NO-CUFFS, Darren Cavanocchi is going to get me out of a DUI. So apparently his advertising works because...
You know, he's friends with Dr. Drew.
No, really?
Yeah, and here's the other part is... he's also sober.
Oh, well, I can't have a sober lawyer. I need
a sober lawyer getting me off on my DUI.
Yeah, no, I need to have the lawyer that it's like 3 a.m, you know, and he's like furrowed brow, yeah. The tie is loosened around his neck, he's all sweaty.
I'll drive you home, buddy.
The single fan is panning back and forth on his desk.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's
like he's a private dick.
He pours himself a shot of whiskey and he's like, wait.
Yep.
I've got it. Yep.
I'm not even joking. I always wanted one of those jobs where I had a bottle in my desk drawer.
Mike,
I don't know why. It sounds so romantic and so appealing.
That could be literally any job.
I know.
You just have to put whiskey in your desk.
Yeah. But there are certain jobs where no one's going to bust you. Like if you're a cop. Like if you're a desk cop or like a sergeant and things get a little rough around the station.
Yeah.
You always pull out the bottle to quell it.
Well, we've got the bottles at my work, so... Every job I've had actually is a job where I could drink. Pool man.
Me too, now that I'm thinking about it.
Pool man. Love line. Yeah. I mean, I guess that'd be awkward, but we definitely drank at Love Line.
Well, let's be... You weren't allowed to drink on Love Line. I mean, if, like, upper management wasn't going, have a couple of drinks. Yeah.
Yeah, help yourself.
You could get away with it.
Help yourself to an entire handle of eggnog.
When I worked in the building you work in and on show days, we were live at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I would always run over to Farmer's Market and have a Guinness before. And the first time I got away with it, I was like, okay, now it's a regular thing. I'd go have a Guinness.
What was the Grove like in, what year was that? Early 90s?
It was just the Farmer's Market and all the rest was parking.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. Tons of parking.
Tons of chicks.
That whole mall on the edge wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like whatever's over there, the Container Store.
It's a giant area.
It's a huge mall.
And apparently it the area that the TV City and the Grove are on used to be a giant baseball field. Like a full.
I thought it was a car racetrack.
Like a full on. I think it was both. I think they were next to each other. It was like a baseball stadium and like a racetrack.
It's so great to look at old pictures, especially of cities we're familiar with, like San Diego in particular. Like my dad's building is exactly 2 blocks from the beach, from the water. I mean, it's so close. It's right there, and you can hear the ocean like every single night, and it's so goddamn annoying. And apparently, I'm the only one who feels that way.
You don't like the ocean but sound?
I would lay there trying to sleep and just hear.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I'd be like,
people
fuck.
Pay a lot of money for that
experience.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, some people like it. I know, but
some people, literally every human on Earth.
Not me. You know, I lived at the beach for close to 20 years. But you know, I lived at the beach for almost 20 years and went on the sand maybe a grand total of 10 times at the most.
That's odd.
Like almost never.
I'm so kind of surprised you didn't become a surfer.
I boogie boarded, but never.
Did you just not have any friends that surfed?
I had a lot of friends that surfed. It just didn't seem appealing to me. I like skateboards better.
Again, it seems like a it seems like a natural transition that you would like surf in the morning, brah, and then surf the sidewalks in the afternoon, brah.
You know what the real reason is? It's cold. That is. That's the reason.
The truth comes out. That's when you get a wetsuit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not warm. Well, that's keeping you alive. That's not warm.
It gets warm.
No, it doesn't.
Well, it...
People are like, oh, cold water gets in your wetsuit and your body warms it up. No. 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 Not possible.
What do you mean, not possible? From the guys who brought you We Have No Idea How Wind Works comes not possible, the entire foundation that the entire wetsuit business is built upon.
Okay, here's what I was saying. Is we found some aerial photos of my dad's building from the 40s.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, this is the beach in San Diego. One of the most, like premier real estate. It's the same with Beverly Hills, but you look at these old photos and you're like, no one lived here.
Yeah.
There's like a house every six lots. Like, and then there's a baseball diamond overlooking the water.
Hold on. I unplugged you. Technical difficulty.
You unplugged.
Hold on. Stand by. Stand
did
by.
Did you unplug the recorder or your phone?
Okay. I'm back.
Okay. Got you back.
Got you back.
But babe. The recorder kept running, right?
Yeah.
So people can hear the drama.
Yeah, they're like, people were on the edge of their seats, like, oh my god, are Mike and Ty Ty going to get reconnected?
They're flipping off S Town to move over to the After Disaster because yeah. There's more drama here.
What do you think John B would have thought about our show? Probably would have hated it. He's far too smart.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I would love
Wouldn't
to
you
hear
love
his
to know,
criticism.
Though?
It would be so articulate and it would be so condemning. I can't even fake what he would be like. These fucking idiots, these fucking morons, these wastes of human...
You fucking think shit town's bad. Fucking these guys are shit pod.
Yeah, shit pod. I've been listening to shit pod, and it's everything I hate about humankind and their ignorance. And
There's two things I hate. I hate tattoos, and I hate the after disaster. Fucking idiots. Yep.
I wish I could remember the lingo that he used for... was it like fairy dust or something?
He has a lot of lingo. And it all sounds...
I know, but...
I feel like the Alabama accent is like the Irish accent of America. It has that like sing-songy to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's got that... Well, bing dong, bum, bum, but it kind of sounds like a banjo, actually, really.
Yeah.
Bing dong, bing dong, bing dong, bing dong, bong, bong.
You know what? After listening to that, I'm reminded why those kind of places, like those places that are out, not in the middle of nowhere, but you know the rural places. Why they have such drug problems?
Yeah,
because you're bored.
Yeah, you were just talking about how great it would be.
No, I'm talking about just leaving.
Yeah.
The pressure of waking up, going, oh, I got to do this. I got to get this done. Oh, I got to do that. Got to do this. Oh,
you know who'd be fucked and there? Especially, you know who'd be fucked in Bibb County, Mr. Social Media Professional.
Oh my God. You wouldn't be Mr. Social Media guy. You would be guy that works at the feed store or something.
Well, yeah, I'm saying if I relocated.
And Ed, you'd be the local baseball coach.
Nah, that'd be pretty good. I'd take that.
Yeah, but that's what you'd be. And then you'd also be constructing a fence around your house so that all those like meth heads couldn't get in.
They're after my bats. Do you think if you lived there long enough, you would start to talk like that?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Long enough.
Yeah, like, I don't know how long you... Like, obviously, when you're a kid, you pick up the accent, but, like, are we set in our ways, or would we become like Madonna?
I think we're probably set in our ways,
I
think...
But what happens...
But there's...
If you're there...
Well, because...
And the only people you talk to have that accent. Like, let's say you stopped talking to anyone that sounded like anyone else. Or that sounded like any of your other friends. You only talk to people... With a British dialect, or with a Alabama accent, or whatever. I mean, eventually, right? Like you would sound weird to yourself. Your inner monologue would start to sound strange.
Or else you would resist and you would stick with you would want to differentiate yourself from them and you would talk. You try to not do it.
Yeah. Again, things that we have no knowledge about. If there's any linguistic experts, please write in.
Yeah. Or call in.
If you know how wind works, or how accents work, or wetsuits, these are the three things we need some guidance
on. Wetsuits. I also think, how many thousands of years have humans been on the planet?
6,000, buddy, when God made them.
Buddy.
okay, so millions of years.
Okay, so let's just take the last 2,000.
Yep.
And you know how this comes up in conversation somehow? I don't know how. I can't even think of a circumstance, but people go like, well, we're all just a big melting pot, and pretty soon everyone's going to be the same color. And I'm like, well, so far we're not even close to being the same color.
What?
And haven't you heard that before?
Yeah, I've heard it mostly from people that are like, we got to preserve the white race. Because pretty soon we're all going to be the same.
I've heard it in the opposite sort of a situation where people are like, well, we're all just it's a big melting pot. We all got to get along because we're all going to be brown someday. And I'm like, well, so far the Irish are holding out pretty good on staying pure white with red hair. And
yes,
shouldn't
every Irish person is pure white with red hair, Mike. Correct.
But by and large, with the kind of
I'm so glad Mikey Carano is not keeping up those stereotypes. He's shedding all those stereotypes.
Okay, you know how the world is so connected.
These potatoes are yummy.
Internet.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like it would all eventually be one accent? Like, how is somebody coming out of Brooklyn still talking like they're from Brooklyn?
Because everyone around them still talks.
No one on television talks like that.
Because all their neighbors still talk like that. If you took them from Brooklyn and raised them here, they wouldn't sound like that.
I think it's crazy.
You would have to move everyone. You would have to take everyone from, let's say, everyone from Manhattan and all the boroughs. You would have to just clear that island out for an entire generation. Put them all in different places. Mm-hmm. Then put them all back. Yeah. And then
that's a good idea. We should get on that.
Then maybe, yeah.
Let's start a Kickstarter campaign to do that.
Dear Mr. President, we have an idea.
Yeah. Forget about all your repealing Obamacare and all this other stuff you want to do.
We need to get rid of
clear these
New York accents
out for a generation.
Love it.
No,
huge.
Okay. What I'm, you know what
so
I'm saying?
So much more room for activities.
Hey, is it also, am I being a jerk thinking that the way we talk is normal?
You're not being a jerk. You're being probably what most people are in terms of you think your shit is normal and the other stuff is weird.
Mm.
Although when I was a kid, it used to confuse me because I thought that we had an accent sort of as pronounced as, let's just say, how an Indian person sounds to you. Like you're like, that's a person from India. Like mm-hmm. I thought we had an accent that was as pronounced as that, but your brain sort of turned it into a vanilla sound in your head. Does that make any sense?
Oh, you thought we migrated to assimilate with the other people
around us? No. I thought
to them our accents.
Okay,
just
so
as strong
I thought
as their
I thought I thought that like when my mouth when my accent came out of my mouth that it sounded, you know, that it had a lilt to it or a singy-songy in my scenario, a Scottish person, even though they sound like a Scottish person to everyone else, in their head, they would sound like what you sound like in your head. Does that make any sense?
Okay.
Sort of. You don't think you have an accent, right?
No.
Right. Me neither. But
do people
by and large,
Alabama?
Yes, because they...
Do they think we have an accent?
From what I understand, it is agreed upon that the kind of the West Coast accent is actually it's almost like a void of accent.
Okay, I like that.
And sure, there's like little dialects like the Valley Girl thing and like hey brah mm-hmm. and like talking up yeah. on like the the stilted, the vocal fry, the talking up and down.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, that's the worst.
That is the worst.
But yeah, it's actually, I believe, I mean, I could be totally wrong, but I believe the West Coast sort of California and, you know, whatever, West Coast US accent is sort of just a straightforward sort of absent of markers kind of dialect.
Does it trouble you that vanilla became a word to describe things that are plain? When vanilla ice cream is maybe the best flavor.
It's definitely not the best flavor. It also just...
Well, if it didn't exist and then they introduced it, you don't think people would go, this is unbelievable?
I don't think that... I don't know if they'd be like, this is unbelievable, but I also... I do think your point is fair that they wouldn't start calling stuff vanilla.
Yeah.
Look at this new flavor. Yeah, it's like boring shit. Yeah, no, I don't think that would be the case.
I wonder, man, I got to get to the bottom of this accent thing.
I know. It's.
I wonder how many people are faking it.
Like all accents, you mean?
Here's what I do know for sure. And this is coming from an Italian guy. There's a dentist that I've been to a few times.
Yeah.
Like a specialist years ago in San Diego. And he is thick Italian accent guy, and I never trust him.
Hey, it's me. I'm fixing your teeth.
Hey, first I'll rip that fucking tooth out of your fucking head.
First 14 colors to my radio station. I gotta fix the teeth.
Hey, I'm out of a Novocaine. I'll just put some marinara sauce in your mouth.
I come to my dentist office. It's called a Bon Appetit.
Okay, here's a better example. Would you rather go in for surgery with a guy speaking vanilla California accent, and I mean just plain... professional doctor, or how y'all doing there, Tyler? We're gonna take that appendix right out of your stomach.
Yeah, you gonna wake up, ain't nothing gonna be wrong with you. I swear to God.
Hey! We almost lost you on the table. I was drinking shine with my old lady last night.
Okay, well, I definitely don't want either doctor that tells me he was drinking shine the night before.
God, this is so troubling. It's all stemming from S-Town.
It's sort of a hard decision. However, I do feel like I would trust the bedside manner more of the guy with the southern accent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I want him when I wake up. Yeah. So I guess I'll go with him with the surgery.
When the election was at its most heated.
Delightful.
And I'm talking about
after Trump. When it was at its most friendly.
Like, the day after Trump won, when things were going swimmingly as far as people getting along.
Yeah, we did a really nice podcast that brought everyone together.
I know. It's a classic. Yeah. It's a classic. Uh-huh. It'll probably get us kicked out of the country if Trump ever hears it.
Tell me more.
My friend, David Feldman, who's a very smart, super funny writer, and who also has a podcast, but he wrote a big, long... very serious essay about how first of all he was repulsed by the whole election, and he's very, very liberal. So just putting that aside, he said the one thing I do know, and he traveled the country with Bernie
Bernie Madoff,
because he writes for Triumph, the insult comic dog.
Yeah.
So they went to all the Bernie rallies and a couple Trump rallies and a couple Hillary Clinton rallies, and he said the thing he knows for sure, he doesn't understand why the Bible Belt was so pro-Trump, but he does understand that the people in the Midwest are much more likely to pull over and help you fix a flat or give you a hand or ask how you're doing than any of the liberal assholes in California.
Sure.
And I agree with that. But I what is that, too? Because it's really disheartening to live out here where everybody is only out for themselves. And do you think it's just living a more simple life where you actually realize what's important, and it's not what you have, and it's not the money you make, and it's not your prestige? It's just staying alive and being like you're nice to your family and stuff?
I don't know. I think it's societal, and also I think that a lot of that can be putting on airs. Like, I think from people I've talked to that live in places where that have reputations for being so friendly and you know, genial to strangers and townspeople alike, whatever. A lot of those people are like, oh, yeah, when people say, like, nice things to you, they're actually being dicks, you know, the way that they're saying
it. Yeah, I've heard that, too. Like about
people
about like pulling over to
yeah, people pulling over to help you. It's less of a I want to be a nice person and more of a well, if Millie down at Walmart finds out that I didn't, my social standing is going to drop down in the local town because you know I was an asshole. So it almost becomes like a.
Okay. But I just was thinking about how we probably just ingratiated ourselves to people by saying how much nicer they are, and then you dissected it apart as an even greater fraud.
But like, that's not to say that I do think overall there is a harsher edge. Overall, I would say places like that are probably nicer. And more compassionate. Hey, so before you guys get mad at me saying that it's all fake, I believe it's not all fake. I just think it's not as goody two shoes as it's presented to be. Just as I don't think people in LA or New York are as mean and shitty as they're portrayed on TV or in people's funny stories.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. You want to hear something really dangerous I did with Anderson and Mickey last night?
I sure do, because I'd like to hear more about Anderson's film that wraps shooting this week. Look at that transition.
It wraps on Friday.
Woo!
Yeah. The days are very, very long.
Yeah.
Very long.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't be the one to say that because I roll in at my leisure and split when I'm tired.
Yeah,
because
you aren't getting paid, but, right?
Yeah. But even if I was getting paid. No. Exactly.
Anderson just That's swerved right. off the road whenever he's listening to this episode 6 months later.
I knew it. I knew it was bothering you. It's not bothering you. I wouldn't take the money either way. Okay, so... considerably more tension on this set right now than there was in the beginning, but it's not between Mickey and Anderson now.
Oh,
it's some people may have maybe in a little over their head
in terms of their skill sets.
Yeah.
Are we?
I wish I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I cannot believe I said that because here's the most horrifying thing that could possibly happen to me on the set. I walked in yesterday. Hey, I listened to your podcast. Huh? And then another guy. Hey, I listened to the After Disaster. I'm like, what? No, don't.
You didn't say who.
I mean, listen.
Anyone who's going to listen to this is going to be like, I know he's not talking about me. He's probably talking about that asshole over there. So I think you're fine.
Yeah, no, people will know. People will know. But here is...
well, then should we...
So last night... They wrapped, and we had to shoot some night scenes, and it was just Mickey and Anderson and I. And it was Mickey. I drove a white convertible BMW, which doesn't matter. I don't know why I mentioned that. And Mickey was in the back seat with the camera, with the like $80,000 camera.
Yeah.
And Anderson was trailing us in a van, driving erratically on these windy mountain roads.
Oh God!
It was kind of. It wasn't hairy, but it could have been unsafe.
Sounds
in the eyes of the law.
Yeah, it doesn't sound... It gives me the chills. Not the chills.
Yeah, especially because he was wearing one of those like radioactive masks.
Like Breaking Bad?
You can't... Sort of, yeah. Yeah. The one that looks like a goat head, but with two big round eyes.
Oh, yeah, like a Russian... Like a Russian's...
Yes,
the Russians
yes,
dropped
that's
the
exactly,
bomb.
Exactly
yeah, yeah.
what okay. it is. But so we had like 2 hours to kill before the sun was completely down for the night shots. So we went out to dinner. And does any place sound less safe than an all-you-can-eat seafood buffet?
Mm.
And it was delish. And it's close to you. It's
you
that
wish
place
you hadn't
on the
said
side
delish?
Of the road. Yeah. I'll go back and clean that up.
Okay. It was delicious.
Delicious.
Where is it by me?
It's that... When you're driving home, it's on the left side of the freeway where the 2 is, and it used to be like some Armenian nightclub, and we only deducted
oh,
that
yeah, yeah,
because
yeah,
of,
yeah.
The, of the decor.
Yeah, there's no, an In-N-Out over there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's all you can eat for like $18,
yeah.
and they have crab legs,
yeah.
and they have oysters on the half shell, which we all ate, which could be the most dangerous food to ever get in a good restaurant.
I did that at Christmas at my grandma's convalescent home, and my mom and my brother both got food poisoning from the oysters.
Yeah. Yeah. And imagine eating them in an all-you-can-eat seafood buffet.
Yeah.
But it was delicious and very inexpensive, and what I'm saying is we should do another diner disaster there.
What if we just went somewhere and ate and didn't have the pressure of recording something?
You know what? Not a bad idea. We could do that too.
I like how I see you guys all the time more than most of my friends, and we genuinely enjoy hanging out with each other. But if we do anything without recording something, we feel like, well, this is a waste.
It's a waste. It's a waste.
Why are we spending any quality time with each other?
But don't you feel that sometimes if we're like doing something and we're having a good conversation, like we should have recorded this?
Oh, especially because of how many bad conversations we've rolled on and subjected people to.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's horrifying. We got to put that shit behind a paywall.
and let no one get it.
I the amount of work I do for my podcast has been ridiculous at times because I'll record an entire podcast and I'm so embarrassed by it, I delete it the next day and start over. Mm. And I'm trying to jam another hour and a half of talking in to get it up before people would have downloaded the old one.
That sounds pleasant.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Any other...
Pretty not good.
I'm almost to my destination, so any more stories from set?
Nice. Let's see here. I'm surprised by how much of this movie takes place in the pool.
Yeah.
And so, because every time I show up, they're in the pool again. And I'm also surprised by the fact that they spray painted the entire, like, all the walls inside this guy's house.
I was wondering about that. Is that, like, movie spray paint, or is it real spray paint?
I'm glad you asked. Because they spray painted, like, they graffitied all over his pool, on the tile, on the, like, everywhere. Yeah. There's graffiti.
Yeah.
And on the walls of his house, there's graffiti.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking all over the place.
Yeah.
And they did it with chalk paint, thinking that's going to come right off. And guess what?
Oh, no.
Guess what they spent most of the day doing yesterday? Repainting. And I don't know how they're going to get that shit out of the pool. And hopefully Mickey brings his high-pressure like water jet machine over and that gets it off. But I don't know.
Oh, that feels like a happens. Lot of anxiety.
We've all come a little more out of pocket than planned. Like I brought my carpet cleaner over there. I don't anticipate getting it back. Brought a lot of stuff.
Did you take that $400 radio air purifier?
I should clean the air a little bit at least.
Yeah.
I think the guy whose house it is sick and tired of us being there, even though everyone's been polite. But
does he live there?
I wouldn't do it.
Does he live there?
I wouldn't have like 20 people in my house. All of us using one bathroom.
Yeah. Okay, but does he live there while you're shooting?
He sure does.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he sometimes we're shooting, and I come inside, and I'm just shooting my mouth off, and I realize he's trying to sleep on the couch, which is right in the middle of the action.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Have you been to that house yet?
No.
It's a stereotypical 80s house, like shitty construction and design and everything, but the property's fantastic. It's off, like if you have, you know how you have levels of houses in the mountains?
Yeah.
Like you'll have a street and then like 100 feet up is another street with other houses that all have a view.
Yeah.
He's in between those two levels.
Ooh.
Like he's his own thing.
He sort of like snuck in.
I don't know, but it's like the road to get to his house looks like a drainage.
I saw that from your video that you complained about not getting paid in.
But he's got no one next to him on either side, and the closest people are beneath him or way, way above him. And that neighborhood is fantastic, except for the people that live there. It is a beautiful, beautiful, like really nice neighborhood, and a lot of the houses have these outstanding views.
But what's wrong with the people that live there?
It's a nice place to live. I think I'm just basing it on the fact that they interrupt the movie a lot with their music.
Oh. Do you guys have to send a PA down and ask them to be quiet, or do you just deal with it?
They tried a couple times, but some of the people live behind gates, and you couldn't ask them. But it's like someone's having a party at like 1 in the afternoon on a weekday. It's like that loud.
Maybe it's just another shoot.
Oh, that would be the best. Okay, house party. Adam, what's his name? House party.
Just multiple shoots all asking each other to go be quiet.
The neighbors hate us too, by the way.
Yeah, I can imagine.
They hate us. Like some people come out and put cones in front of their house so you can't park there.
Ugh. I'm surprised the cops haven't been called.
Well, he's got permits.
Yeah.
You know, The cop that was there for the night shoot couldn't have been less interested. He just sat in his car, and then the attractive like lead woman in this film was so cold, she went and sat in the cop car with him.
That is such an LA actress move.
Absolutely.
Who else gets away with, I'm cold, I'm going to go, I mean, I get that he's the set, he's the, you know, the set policeman, so it's it's a little different, but still, it's...
But what's he, what, how's he doing his job if he's just sitting in his car looking at his phone? What is his job anyway, just to keep, just to tell people that we have a permit?
Yeah, they're just, a, yeah, in every any production that shoots in L.A. has to just, based on how big the production is, you have to have a certain amount of officers.
Yeah.
Depending.
I should have gone over to him to make him work for it. Oh, the gaffer just stole my wallet. I'd like to place the director under citizen's arrest.
I'm surprised it's not a motorcycle cop, because there are usually motorcycle cops on sets.
Except for that it was freezing cold that night.
Oh, maybe that's why.
I wonder why they're motorcycle cops.
Usually, the guys that I've met are usually retired LAPD, and they they either, a lot of guys when they retire, they buy their bike from the city.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that point, I think they get it sold to them at like a prorated amount, so it's like dirt cheap, anyways. But yeah, they retire, keep their bike and their uniform, and then they just do movie shoots where they get paid a shit ton to just sit around and shoot the shit all day.
Yeah, that's not a bad gig.
It's not a bad gig.
Except for you're going to be bored out of your mind because you're just standing by your motorcycle for 10 hours.
Yeah.
And every now and then some famous person walks by you.
But a lot of the time I'm bored out of my mind and I'm not getting paid for it.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Me
too.
All right,
so,
Mike.
Anything
else?
Good?
Yeah.
Everything good for you?
Everything's good. I got a week off coming up.
When's that?
Next week. So,
holy smokes.
Would have been nice if it had worked
next
out
week,
that I could have gone to this, you know, gone to set, but.
Next week, we should.
Do something.
Do a regular show.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get the three amigos back together. Thank you everyone for putting up with, me and Mike and doing like driving audio and all the other nonsense we've been getting up to.
So this is the last show that it's going to be Tyler and I alone.
I believe.
Until Anderson schedules reshoots.
Oh, is that going to happen? I guess.
No. They're out of money.
Yeah.
They had to come up with some extra money.
What's his,
Mickey pitched in $3,000 and Anderson pitched in $3,000.
I don't know if she's put people's business out there.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, that's fine. What's Anderson's,
God, do I feel like a piece of shit for only giving $50?
Well, and
wish I wouldn't have said that either.
And a carpet cleaner.
Oh yeah, yeah. What, and my time.
What's Anderson's state of mind? How's he seem?
He is probably exhausted, and it's making him. He's still Anderson.
Yeah.
You know, he's not afraid to confront. He's not afraid to address issues, but he's being very nice.
Yeah.
And very cordial to everybody. Even the people he's frustrated with.
Yeah.
And he's doing, he's learning, you know, he's doing a good job. No, but I mean, this is going to be probably the biggest learning experience for him as far as being a director goes, because I'm watching him change into realizing I'm in control and I have to,
right.
You know, and I mean, there's a little tug of war between him and Mickey.
Sure.
But it's not bad for the film. I think it's helping actually.
Yeah. I'm very interested. I think next week, hopefully he's able to sort of like decompress for a second. And hopefully the show next week will be a place for him. Fuck, I don't know. Maybe he won't even want to talk about it. He'll just like want to take a little mental vacation. Guess we'll see.
I would.
Yeah.
I would be like, I don't want to talk about this till next week.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll give him that option.
Yeah. I've done the least amount of work of anyone on the set by far. The least. And even I'm exhausted by it.
Yeah.
But overall, it's just a long process, you know? It's not
for sure.
It's a very long process.
Imagine if you wanted to draw something and the only way to get it drawn was you had to work with 600 people to get it done.
Yeah.
One person
keep drawing
this side of the face
and over
and
over.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
now
yeah.
Now we're going to move the pencil over here and draw it again.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh, but wait, we already hold did on. That. Now we got to stop for lunch.
Oh, yeah, by law.
And we got to get a cop here to watch us draw. Yeah, yeah.
The lunch thing kills me because I'm just like, why don't we keep on working? And, you know, you have to stop for other people's sake. But I'm just like, an hour? Who needs an hour? I ate in the car.
With the cop. All right. Let's put this baby to bed.
You got it.
So I can go put my baby to bed.
Ah, your baby's still up?
Hey, baby is still up. All right. See you, buddy.
Alrighty.
Bye, everyone.
Keep it moving.